Now, in terms of Rule 159, Subsection 1 of the Rules of the National Assembly, if the chairperson of a committee is absent or unable to perform the functions of chairperson, the committee must then elect another of its members as acting chairperson. Now, members, I apologize that my camera is not working. So, based on what I've said above, can I call for nominations for the position of acting chairperson? Members? Yes, Mr. Milam.
Sorry, Ari, there's a hand also, Ms. Malinga.
Oh. Mr. Milam?
Erika, I nominate Mr. Mahwale as the acting chairperson.
Thank you very much, Mr. Milam. Mr. Mahlwale, do you accept the nomination as acting chairperson?
Yes, I do. Thank
you, sir. Now, are there any other further nominations? Are there any hands, Ayanda?
Yes, and I've got Ms. Malinga. She's got a hand up.
Yes, Ms. Malinga.
Morning, I have lowered my hand.
Oh, okay. Thank you, madam. So if there are no further nominations for the position of acting chairperson, Mr. Mahlaule, please take the chair as acting chairperson. Congrats, sir.
Thank you very much, Secretary. I believe our agenda, I'm just looking for it now. You can assist, Ayanda. Okay, got it. I believe our agenda is today to have a briefing by the Minister of Mineral Resources and Energy and the department on its adjustment budget allocation, which will include financial and non-financial impact on delivery programs. Now, members, I must say that the rules of the committee that applies every day when the chairperson is around will apply. And as acting chair, I'll assume full powers of the chair as prescribed by the rules. And I want to plead with members that the same way you treat the chair of the portfolio committee, please treat me in that way for today. That will make me happy so that we quickly finish the meeting and not have problems. Without further ado, I'll just quickly go to apologies from both secretaries, Ariko and Ayanda.
Thank you, Mr. Mahlaule. I've got an apology from the chair. He's got an a bereavement. He lost his sister. And we've also received this morning the apology from the minister. Thank you.
Ariko?
Nothing from my side, Chair.
Okay. No, thank you very much, honorable members. Let's pass our condolences to the chairperson and his family for having lost his sister. These are difficult times. Some of us take it for granted that this COVID is around until it hits at home. let's practice social distancing. I'm told they no longer call it social distancing, it's physical distancing. Let's wash our hands and let's wear masks at all times and teach those that we love and those that we interact with. Honorable members, I will take this opportunity to give the department to brief us, and then after that, we will give each member 3 minutes to make a comment, and after that, if we still have time, we will allow for follow-up questions. We'll take it from there. DG?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Good morning to yourself as the appointed chairperson, elected chairperson of the Portfolio Committee for the purpose of this meeting, and also greetings to the honorable members of the Parliamentary Portfolio Committee on Mineral Resources and Energy. Greetings to all the EDGs that are in attendance, in fact, all of them are in attendance. And also greetings to the parliamentary support staff and all senior officials in attendance.
My apologies, Gigi. Gigi?
Yes.
There is a sound that is unpleasant on your side.
Oh, let me just switch off the camera.
I'm not sure it's the camera because it's like it's windy where you are, and I can see you are in an office, but that unpleasant noise.
I hope, excuse me. I hope it is better now, Chair. Thank you very much.
We'll have to live with it, but it's not better.
Thank you, Chair. I can hear that there is a little bit of a feedback that is unpalatable. With your permission, Chair, may I proceed?
Yeah, please do.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I have already conveyed my greetings to the Honorable Members. There is actually an apology, Honorable Chair, from the Minister as well. There is a ministerial tax team on economic recovery, and so they are convening this meeting this morning, and so I was supposed to be part of that meeting, but he has assigned me to come to the Portfolio Committee meeting. As for the presentation, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, we have already circulated the presentation to all Honorable Members for the purpose of this meeting. I will not spend time with the first few slides. We have the CFO that will be taking us through the presentation in terms of where do we stand with our budget. Now, as you can see, page 2, we are giving the presentation outline. And on page 3, we are just indicating that on the 15th of March 2020, the President of the Republic declared a national state of disaster in terms of Disaster Management Act. Now, it was after we had a serious challenge, and we still have a challenge of COVID-19, which was declared a world pandemic by the World Health Organization. Now, National Treasury later published in 2020 Special Adjustment Budget guidelines to give effect to the 130 billion baseline reprioritization included in the President COVID-19 response package. Now, the department's contribution towards COVID-19 response package was submitted to National Treasury in line with the guidelines. However, 2 bilateral meetings were subsequently convened by the National Treasury, and the outcome was that the department should implement further cuts on 2020-2021 budget allocation. The net change to baseline was a downward revision of 1.5 billion implemented in the following order that the CFO will take us through from slide number four. I must indicate here, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, that it was not an easy conversation that we had with the National Treasury, because we are quite very much concerned of the fact that we have priorities as a department that we need to look into. And so, but it was through those hard negotiations that we ultimately came to the agreement of surrounding close to 1.5 billion rand. And now the CFO will take us through all the aspects of the presentation, both financial and non-financial. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Over to you, CFO.
Thank you, DG. Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, DG, DDGs, colleagues, good morning. I'm Yvonne Chetty. I will take you through the presentation, starting on slide number four. The department had a main appropriation of 9.3 billion, which was after DG has just alluded, after many meetings with National Treasury, and as per the guidelines, we did consider the budget reductions, and we had reduced the budget by 1.5 billion, with goods and services being reduced by 41.7 million, transfers and subsidies by 1.5 billion. There were no savings surrendered under compensation of employees. The department had written to National Treasury formally to inform them that the savings under compensation of employees will be utilized to recruit graduates as per the request from the president to assist the economy by employing unemployed graduates. So the plan to employ those graduates are still underway, but no savings have been surrendered in that area. The next slide, please. Is slide number five. These are the programs that were reduced. The first program is administration. It had a budget of 642 million. We had reduced the budget by 24.8 million, leaving it with a revised budget of 617 million. Minerals and petroleum regulation had a budget of 574.7 million. We had reduced it by a small amount of 3.6 million, leaving them with a revised budget of 571 million, which was a reduction of 1%. Mining, minerals, and energy policy development had a budget of 993 million. We had reduced the budget by 6.4 million, which is 1% of the budget, and their revised budget after the reduction is 986 million. Mine health and safety had a budget of 232.6 million. The budget here was not reduced. We had actually used this opportunity in this process to reallocate some funding from other areas to this program to fund the activities here. So they started with 232 million. We've added 6.2 million. They have now have a revised budget of 238.9 million. Programs and projects had a budget of 5.7 billion. It was reduced by 1.5 billion. The revised budget is now 4.2 billion. It was reduced overall by 26%. Nuclear energy regulation and management had a budget of 1 billion. We have reduced by 10.8 million, leaving them with a revised budget also of 1 billion, reduced by 1%. Overall, the budget for the DMRE was reduced by 17% across all economic classifications. The next slide is slide number six. Chairperson, here on this is just the net budget reduction per economic classification. Goods and services originally we managed to analyze the budgets and we came up with a saving of 48.7 million. But as I had mentioned earlier on, we had tried to reallocate money of 7 million, mainly to program 4 of 6.2 million, which was to assist mine health and safety for the increased mine inspections and to cover the pandemic at the moment. And program 5 received 800,000. So we had started the reduction of 48.7 million. We've reallocated 7 million. The net change of goods and services was 41.7 million reduced, which is 7% of the total goods and services budget, which has decreased. Transfers and subsidies has gone down by 1.5 billion, which is 21% of the budget in goods and transfers. Total reduction is 17%. If we move to slide number 7, Chair, these are the goods and services and the line items that were reduced. And there were many factors considered when these reductions were done. Discussions were held with branch heads, and we looked at all the activities and projects that were planned in determining what line items could be reduced. We also took the lockdown into account. Catering and entertainment savings were attributable due to the reduction of physical meetings due to the COVID-19. Consumable supplies and consumable stationery advertising, all of these costs were surrendered as savings due to the lockdown that we had experienced. Travel, savings generated, it's due to the lockdown that there were minimal travel. Venues and facilities, also due to the limit of public gatherings, we did manage to save that funding. Consultants, contractors, and outsourced services. This was mainly due to procurement lags due to the lockdown, but we anticipate procurement to be back on track as soon as possible. Overall, under goods and services, considering all these line items, we managed to have savings of 41.7 million, which was surrendered to National Treasury. If we move to slide number 8, the goods and services reductions per program, Chair, I'm just trying to illustrate that we've had 41.7 million in goods and services as a budget reduction, and these are the programs and how they were affected. Under program 1, which is administration, which has taken the biggest cut of 18.6 million. Program 2, which is mineral and petroleum regulation, we cut their goods and services by 3.6 million. Program 3, which is mining, minerals, and energy policy development, we've reduced that budget by 6.4 million. There's no reduction in program 4, so by program 5, it's programs and projects. They've also had a fair amount cut of 7.1 million. Program 6, which is nuclear, the budget was reduced by 5.8 million, giving you a total of 41.7 million. If I move to slide number nine. Chairperson, on slide 8, I mentioned the figures that were reduced per program. On the next two slides, that's slide number 9 and 10, I will provide some explanations of the impact of these cuts on this program, on these programs, in particular on goods and services economic classification. A reduction adjustment of 41.7 million was effected on goods and services budget overall. Of that amount, 44.7% was implemented under administration, mainly in travel and subsistence. Service delivery will not be significantly affected. Non-essential reductions were also implemented on core programs, mainly due to the lockdown and staggered return of employees. A total of 7 million was reallocated within goods and services, mainly to fund mandatory inspections that were intensified. That is, environment of 6.2 million was reprioritized from administration to Program 4 to augment this Mine Health and Safety Inspectorate in response to COVID-19. A further 800,000 was reprioritized from energy efficiency projects sub-program to fund the regional offices. That's within Program 5. And then if I move to slide number 10, two projects were delayed as a direct result of lockdown. That is Program 3, a project for fuel sampling and testing will be delayed. And in Program 5, non-grid, that's measurement and verification, which involved the verification of installed units, this will also be delayed. The delay resulted in savings in consultants and contractors, hence some of the reductions. It is expected that the procurement processes will return to full capacity in the next month. The following programs also contributed to the special adjustment budget, hence there will be some delays in the projects planned and some of their activities. That is Program 2, which will be minimal disruptions because we had a very small reduction there. And then Program 6, which is nuclear, the program contributed about 14%, and there will be some impact on their activities as well. If I move to slide number 11. Chair, this is the bulk of the budget reduction, which is under transfers and subsidies. It spans over slide number 11 and 12. If I start on slide number 11 and it goes over to slide number 12, the total main appropriation under transfers and subsidies was 7.6 billion for the 2021 financial year. We had adjustments, and if I go through the adjustments, under Program 5, INAP municipalities, we had a reduction of 500 million. INAP ESCOM had a reduction of 1 billion. Energy efficiency and demand side management, those are transfers to municipalities, at a reduction of 21.7 million. And then our entity, South African National Energy Development Institute, SANEDI, at a reduction of 4.1 million. And on slide 12, I continue. Under Program 6, National Nuclear Regulator had a budget reduction of 5 million. And we had a small reduction under international membership fees of 1.4 million, leaving us with a total reduction of 1.532 billion. We started the year with 7.634 billion. Our net adjustment was 1.532 billion, leaving us with a revised baseline of 6.102 billion. If I move along, Chairperson, on the next few pages, on slide number 13, I provide some explanations and the overview of this major cut that we've had. DMRE 2021 main appropriation earmarked for transfer to public entities and implementing agencies, municipalities, households, for implementing specific programs and projects was 7.6 billion, which I've shown you. And that was about 82% of our total 2021 allocation. INAP ESCOM grant for electrification of households accounted for 39% of the total transfers budget. That is purely for information, Chair. A total of 1.532 billion was reduced and reprioritized from this classification towards the COVID-19 fiscal response package, mainly from Program 5. If I move to slide number 14, the overview continues. The reduction decreased the transfer payments main appropriation from 7.6 billion to 6.1 billion, impacting the programs as follows. I'll give you the details now, Chair and members. Program 5, programs and projects. This program started the 2021 financial year with a total budget allocation of 5.798 billion. 5.5 or 96% of that amount was earmarked for transfers to public entities. A transfer reduction of 1.527 billion, that is only for Program 5, was approved by National Treasury and implemented through the Special Adjustment Budget. slide number 15. The details of the reductions are as follows. Program 5, as I mentioned, was reduced by 1.527 billion. And the following are the details and how the program will be affected. In order to meet the budget cut of 1.527 billion on INEP grant, the department engaged both the municipalities and ESCOM. Chair, as much as I don't want to jump the slides, but at the end, I think it's from slide number 22 to 24, we do have some annexures attached to this presentation, which will provide the details of the process the department has undertaken in ensuring that both the municipality and ESCOM was engaged before the budget reductions were concluded. And they had followed a specific criteria, and it's also covered in the annexure. On slide numbers 15, the INEP ESCOM grant of 1 billion reduction from the main appropriation of 3 billion. The reduction will delay the implementation of planned bulk infrastructure projects, which are critical for laying the foundation for household connections, as well as reduce the targeted electricity connections. It is projected that a 2021 household connections target of 180,000 will decrease by 43,000 to a revised 137,000 connections. The reduction will have a significant impact, negative impact, on Eastern Cape, Limpopo, KwaZulu-Natal, as these provinces have the largest electricity backlogs. If I move to slide number 16. Slide number 16, INEP municipal grant, 500 million reduction from the main allocation of 1.86 billion. The reduction will contribute to the reduction in household connections target, which is projected to decline by 43,000, which I have mentioned. Senedi had a reduction of 4.1 million, the reduction from the main allocation of 78 million, resulting in a revised allocation of 74 million. The reduction is from savings as a result of vacant positions, but this is savings from just quarter one only that will not be utilized due to the lockdown. However, the positions will be considered to be filled in the second half or later in the year. Travel budget that will not be utilized, costs relating to venue hire and catering expenses, all of these, including consulting fees, will be deferred to the following financial year. So overall, in Cernedi submitting a reduction of 4.1 million will not affect their operations negatively. Slide number 17. Energy efficiency and demand side management. The grant has been reduced by 21.7 million, which is 10% of the main allocation of 196.2 million. The objective of the grant is to support various municipalities to reduce electricity consumption in municipal infrastructure, which has a significant impact on the electricity bill. The reduction will be applied across all municipalities that are currently receiving the grant. Important to note, this reduction requires a re-engineering and downscaling of initial plans by municipalities. Thereafter, a resubmission of business plans, which will delay implementation as the veracity of each revised plan has to be established by the department. So there is a very detailed process that the department undertakes to ensure any revision is properly monitored. The downscaling of plans will negatively affect the technology advancement aspect. The grant includes capacity building and awareness for municipalities, which also will be scaled down in the current financial year, that is 2021. We had also a reduction in slide number 18. International membership fees, a provision of 1.15 million for a voluntary contribution to the International Partnership on Energy Efficiency Corporation, was reduced. The IPIC is in the process of being reviewed into an energy efficiency hub to be located under G20 countries. Therefore, the non-payment will not compromise South Africa's international standing as the review process is delayed by the pandemic. So we should not be affected on that one. Slide number 19. Program 6, Nuclear Energy Regulation and Management. This program started the 2021 financial year with a total budget of 1 billion. It was reduced by 5 million from the nuclear regulator, which is on the second bullet point. The only reduction implemented on this program under transfers is 5 million, reduced from NNR grant from 45.47 million to a revised grant of 40.47 million. This reduction will not have a negative impact on the regulator's performance targets as its savings are from the travel budget due to the national lockdown. Slide number 20. In conclusion, Chair and members, in order to implement the President's pronouncement regarding the government's COVID-19 fiscal response package, funds were repurposed within the vote, while a significant portion had to be surrendered for reprioritization to other departments to fund specific activities listed in the response package. The impact of the surrendered funds will not only be evident in the current financial year, but will impact implementation in future years as well. This is specifically the case for electrification projects, as the nature of infrastructure and pre-engineering activities related to bulk infrastructure projects has an impact on delivery in future years. National Treasury has emphasized that a guarantee cannot be provided that the reduced amounts will be reinstated in the next budget process, as the allocation of resources is guided by the prevailing priorities of government. However, DMRE will motivate for additional funds where necessary during the budget processes, which is through the financial year, and we'll use this opportunity to assist the department as best as we possibly can. Chairperson, as I've mentioned earlier on slide 22 to 24 are annexures that support mainly the reduction of the 1.5 billion in program 5. And these are the revised cuts under slide 22 per province under the municipal program. And slide number 23 also has the budget cuts per province, specifically for the ESCOM program. And on slide number 24, there's a rationale that was provided of how the budget cuts were implemented, which I had also briefly touched on in my earlier slides. Chairperson, I think I would leave it there. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson, and also Honourable Members. That brings us to the end of our presentation. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thanks, DG and the CFO. Honourable Members, we will now open for questions and clarities. The same model we have used before, we're going to use that of 3 minutes and so forth. We'll start with Honorable Malinga, followed by Honorable Malem, followed by Honorable Sonyana, followed by Honorable Numalo, followed by Honorable Volmarans, followed by Honorable Zungula, if he's around, followed by Honorable Mgweba, followed by Honorable Nyonto, if he's around, followed by Honorable Bilankulu, Honorable Mtenjana, Honorable Phillips, and Honorable Kula. In that sequence, Honorable Malinga.
Thank you, Chairperson. Greetings to the colleagues and everybody in the meeting. Let me first start by sending my condolences to the Chairperson and his family for losing a member of his family. Chairperson, let me welcome the presentation by department and say we are really in a tight space. Chair, let me also commend the department on the increase on the grant of MHSC, given the pandemic of COVID-19. Hopefully, Mine Health Safety Council will be able to execute its work properly, so to ensure that the regulations as gazetted by the minister in the mining industry will be adhered to. My worry, Chairperson, is on the decrease on the, what is the rationale of the province in decreasing the INAP of Eskom to the rural three provinces that they have cited on their presentation. Also, Chair, Sanedi, the savings that they are saying Sanedi has, it is in terms of vacancies that are not filled. Are those vacancies not critical to ensure that the work of Sanedi gets to be done efficiently? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Malinga. Honorable Malan.
Thank you, Chairperson. I want to echo to a certain extent what Honorable Malinga said. And my concern is that the department is defunding one of its very few service delivery programs. In other words, the INEP program, which is responsible for electrification of households, both by Eskom through bulk infrastructure and then directly by municipalities to an amount of 1.5 billion rand. And it strikes me that there are savings that could have been made elsewhere, which would not have affected the service delivery aspects of the department as harshly, particularly, for example, travel, catering, and consultants. And I did a quick calculation looking at the budget vote document, the estimate of national expenditure. And I estimate that they could have saved more than 580 million rand just on those line items alone. Now, if you add in things like advertising and policy development and computer services and things like this, you really start adding up to big numbers. So I'm really concerned about why the department decided to go after a service delivery program like INEP, as opposed to the nice-to-haves like travel and subsistence, catering, and the like, where they've only taken minuscule amounts. I'm also concerned about the fact that we continue to throw money into the nuclear program, the nuclear new build, where we're now calling for expressions of interest. We're throwing money at Nexa, and this entity has demonstrated its inability to manage its finances effectively. And I'd really, really ask that the department go back and relook this budget, because I don't believe it's an acceptable budget. I don't believe that this is an appropriate use of resources. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Honorable Malam. Honorable Hlonyane.
Thank you, Chair. Let me first welcome the presentation, Chairperson. The person who was presenting honestly presented the presentation very well. She should have been a teacher in her previous life. But let's go to slide 15, Chair. The INEP Eskom grant, honestly speaking, Chairperson, like the last two speakers have spoken, to deprive 43,000 electricity connections for our people, I do not think it's going to be a correct thing to do. Maybe the department can go and motivate for additional funds and take back that money. Let's make sure that those connections do happen. We can no longer make our people stay without electricity connections. Secondly, Chairperson, it was slide 17 on the EE DSM, the reduction of electricity consumption by you know, by large power users is one of the most important thing that we must do within the municipalities, because, you know, if people do not reduce the consumption of electricity, is one of the reasons we end up with issues like load shedding. So that program also, I don't think it should have been reduced in a manner that has been reduced, because it's also one of the most important programs that assist us in saving energy, in saving electricity. I did not see anything, and I'm not being funny, Chair, I did not see anything on the compensation of what is going to happen to miners that are going to lose their lives because of COVID-19. I was hoping that the budget was going to speak about that, because as the EFF, we have said that mines must not open, but then mines have opened. And now you can see that you have cases of COVID-19 in almost each and every single mine in South Africa. So we want to know, how is the department going to deal with lives lost due to COVID-19 at the mines? And lastly, Chair, I just want to put this in passing. The minister has been absent in most of our meetings, and now this is beginning to be a great concern. Something must be done, but the minister must be with us in our meetings, because this is almost, I don't know, without him being in our meetings. Thank you very much, Chair.
The Honorable Zwide. Honorable Nxumalo.
He's not around here, Mr. Mahlaula. I think we can proceed to the next member.
It will be Honorable Volmarans.
Thanks, Chairperson. Let me also welcome the presentation, Chair, and also echo the same sentiments that has been said by the previous colleagues. In as far as the reduction that is going to affect especially the three rural areas where we are, where the electrification will suffer. On one of the slides, I think it's on slide 20, when you conclude, it says the impact of the surrendered funds will not only be evident in the current financial year, but will impact implementation in future years as well. And what will the department do to mitigate this backlog that is going to be on top of what we already have? Especially seeing that the electrification, we have been saying that we have a problem in electrification. So the reduction is going to have a very, very serious impact. And how are we going to mitigate that in terms of service delivery, Chairperson? Thanks.
Thanks, Honorable Volmarans. Do we have Honorable Zungula?
No, Mr. Mahlaule. Honorable Zungula is not here.
Do we have Honorable Nyonzo?
Also, Mr. Nyonzo is not here.
Can we have Honorable Mgweba?
Thank you, Chair, and greetings to all members. Allow me, Chair, to send my condolences to the Chair of the Portfolio Committee and his family. And let me acknowledge the work by the department. In fact, Chair, I've got only two questions to the department. One regarding the INEP and its significant decrease in the budget. The department must explain the impact of the reduction on the program. One is concerned about the significant negative impact, especially in the three provinces, which is the rural areas, your KZN, your Limpopo, and your Eastern Cape. And the second question, Chair, I think it has been raised by one member, and the department also must explain what is gonna happen with the infected minors due to COVID-19 and their lives. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mgweba. Thank you very much. Can we proceed to Honorable Bilankulu? Ms. Boss, can you advise?
He is locked in. Can you just maybe unmute the mic if you want to speak? Mr. Bilankulu? Mr. Bilankulu? I don't know what is happening, Chair.
Okay, let's proceed to Honorable Mtenjane.
Well, thank you very much, Chairperson. Also, I would like to send my condolences to the Chairperson of this committee. Akwehlanga lungehlanga, abalale ngenceba. Sinabo ngaso sonke isikhathi kule nto ebavelele. Now, coming back to the presentation itself, well, it was well presented. It was loud and clear. And the allocations and everything of the budget, except of course, as my colleague has just said already, that we did not hear anything about the budget that is affecting our workers, because we will always say this, because that is where we stand. We said it that the mines are not ready to open. Our minister, the forever absent minister, said to us, some of us, that we are arrogant, we are angry. We're supposed to be angry because this is the life of the people that we must never supposed to risk with. We said, when the peak was about 60, if I'm standing to be corrected on this one, everything was shut down. We had a lockdown. Now everything is up. The rise is alarming. It's way, way, way high. But then we open schools, we open mines, and this shows that this government, including this department, does not necessarily care about our people. Now we got a budget here which doesn't mention anything about them, that in case we found those who are affected, this is how we're going to assist them. So no one is going to be assisted. It's just a business as usual for profit issues. They don't care about the people who are working this very same industry. We find it very, very difficult and very, very much unacceptable to the people of South Africa and the poor workers who are affected, because they are affected, them and their families. So other than that, the budget is quite correct, but we know also that not so long in the very same budget, we will hear stories of to say that hey, this money doesn't know, they don't know where did it go and all those things. In terms of corruption. So we will advise as this committee that please use this budget very carefully, but also try to do something, especially for the people who will be affected, who will be found positive, the workers who will be found positive, especially them and their families. You can do something for them also to help them, because you need them. Remember, these are the people who are working on our mind. These are the people who are working here. These are the people who we are relying on in as far as the economy of this country is concerned. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mtenjane. The Honorable Ms. Phillips.
Good morning, Chair. Thank you so much for the opportunity. I also would like to echo my sentiments about that budget cut to INEP. You know, we're actually just fooling ourselves, because by not electrifying the people who need electricity, all we're doing is we are perpetuating illegal connections. And those illegal connections are costing millions of rand in damaged infrastructure to the municipalities. We've got transformers blowing up all the time. We've got fuses tripping and blowing off, and the municipalities are paying for this. We cannot afford to delay electrification anymore. The fact that we are spending so much on consultants, that tells me that we're employing the wrong people. If we were employing the right people, we wouldn't have to spend money on consultants, and we could use that money for the electrification of our people's houses. When is the department going to come and present a rationalization of entities to the committee? That is how we are going to save money and use that money to improve the lives of the people of South Africa. So I'd actually like them to come and to give us a date of when they're going to present a rationalization to us. And I really think that that budgetary cut to INEP must be reconsidered. As a committee, it seems that we are unanimous about the fact that it was incorrect, that it shouldn't have been done. And I really think that that money should be found elsewhere and the money reallocated to INEP. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Phillips. Honorable Kula?
No, thank you very much, Acting Chair. Firstly, let me send my sincere and deepest condolences to our Chair, Honorable Satulelo Luzipho, and his family for their loss. Chair, while reductions are expected to be there so that we can be able to mitigate the challenges we face as a result of COVID-19, but I want to say that such reductions should not substantially affect some of our major projects. I think there's an agreement unanimously in the committee that the cards which relate to household connections will have to be re-looked into by the department, especially when they affect our most deepest rural areas, because those the people who have this project will serve to assist the people who are in need. So I think they will have to re-look into cutting into other aspects of the budget and ensure that this program is able to be sustained, because there is a serious need to electrify the areas that have been targeted, Chair. I also want to say, Chair, that it is no longer an impending rumor or gossip that schools and the economy are gradually opening up. And I want to say that as a committee, we don't support the notion that we must remain under a permanent lockdown. It is not possible. Our people need to eat. Our people need to go back into their ordinary day-to-day life. And we are saying that those things must be opened up at a gradual pace. And also, Chair, that it is disingenuous for any of us in the committee to say that we are throwing away money when we allocate money to the nuclear rebuild program and our entities such as Nexa. It can be that when we do that, we are throwing away money. We are not throwing away money. We have agreed on the nuclear program. I don't know what is the issue about it. We have agreed that our entities must be helped, especially strategic entities such as Nexa. So we promote that they must always be given allocations, Chair. And I must commend the department that there's not been a reduction on an important program of the mine and mine health and safety, which confirms that we will be able to deal with some of the challenges that will emerge as long as there are no cuts in this project, in this program, Chair. I've also seen a cut on the goods and services of 41 million, which I think is quite commendable. But I want to check that for the department to be able to fund the program of household connections, can they be able to make some further cuts in the budget of under goods and services, Chair? Lastly, Chairperson, there's an issue which became a concern to me in the presentation, that National Treasury has emphasized, has not given guarantees that some of the projects where we've seen cuts, that they will be funded in successive budgets, and that the department is saying that it will motivate that some of these programs are carrying through, but their motivation, because the National Treasury is saying that they are not giving any guarantees. So how will their motivations, how will motivations of the department ensure some that some of the needed programs are going to be funded by the National Treasury if National Treasury is saying they will not be able to give any guarantees? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Kula. Thanks, honorable members. Before I hand over to the department, I just have one comment, because my issues have been covered as well by honorable members, except to say to Honorable Phillips that we have adopted as this portfolio committee a program that requires the department to come and present on the rationalization of entities. I'm advised accordingly by the secretary of the portfolio committee that it may have been changed by parliament, but it's under review. So they will advise you and myself in due course when is the department going to come and present. It shouldn't be them telling us they want to come and present when. We must tell them, and we have done so. With that said, honorable members, DG and your team, you will provide leadership on who must respond on what, but I'm handing over to you.
Thank you very much, honorable chair and honorable members. I've got three DGs that are mainly affected by the questions from honorable members. The other DGs don't come in as and when maybe business is open for them to do so. I've got the CFO, who will be the first one, should be followed by DG Mbele, and the last person will be the Chief Inspector of Mines, Mr. Nsiza. Thank you very much, Chair. Over to you, CFO.
Thank you, DG. I'll cover the question by Honorable Malem. There was a question under goods and services. The budget for goods and services when we opened the financial year was 565.8 million. We've had many iterations of the goods and services budget, and we literally had to cut everything that we could have saved. This exercise was done with great analysis with all branch heads, and we managed to reduce by 41.7 million with great difficulty, and leaving us now with a revised budget of 524 million. I want to assure the committee that every effort was done to reduce as much as we could from the non-core events of the department and activities without affecting the major deliverables. Chairperson, this was a very, very difficult negotiation with National Treasury. And I've also noted there were many questions on INEP, but National Treasury also had done their own pre-calculations on major service delivery programs. They had put out very strict guidelines on which programs should be looked at and why. All they were looking for was to move the implementations where possible to a little later date, to be a slight delay in and move it into the next financial years. Yes, there will be an impact, but that pre-calculation has been done by National Treasury. We did have a reduced budget sent to National Treasury, which was sent back to the department. And hence we had to eventually have two further bilaterals with National Treasury to increase our INEP reductions, because the department did not accept that initial proposal from National Treasury. So that's just in the background there, Chairperson. And in terms of having the budget relooked, there is a normal budget adjustment, which is normally undertaken in September, thereabout. And we will use that opportunity, pending some discussions in the department, of going back to request funding, additional funding in certain critical projects. Perhaps I can leave it there, Chairperson. Thank you, DG.
Good morning, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. I will respond to some of the questions that were raised around INEP. But let me first start by adding to a point that was made by the CFO that we need to look at the INEP cut in the context of the overall budget cuts in government. INEP is not the only service delivery grant that was cut. Other service delivery grants were also cut. So it was actually a bit tricky for us to push back on National Treasury when all other programs were impacted. So in our engagements with Treasury, we then adopted a stance where we first had to go and look at our projects in detail. And the point that the CFO made as well around Treasury had been done their own analysis. The departure point for the discussions with Treasury was the general annual rollovers that were coming through from municipalities and ESCOM. On average, in the last 3 years, ESCOM would normally, out of their 3 billion or so budget, they would normally roll over about a billion. And the reason for that is because the electrification that we do now is not only just connecting houses, there's bulk infrastructure that's supposed to support these connections. And you would know that these infrastructure projects don't normally spend one financial year. They spend a number of financial years because of the long lead materials on some of the items. So what would happen is that at times they would place orders, but those orders will only be delivered in the next financial year. And it's only at that point that they have to pay for these projects. But some of the issues that contributed, obviously, or contribute to the rollovers are issues of where projects get delayed because of delays in land acquisition or environmental assessments. But what we've also found, and especially from direct municipal transfers, is that some of the projects, while they were presented to us, they tend to get delayed because they were not as ready as they were initially presented. So so the starting base for the cut was the rollover amounts that historically the municipalities and ESCOM had presented. Then what we had to do from the department side, we had to make sure that we effect the cuts on projects that are not ready, where we also had to look at where there is a very minimal historical backlog in terms of the area. So there is a criteria that was applied, and some of it is what is reflected on slide 24. What we also did not do is we did not move money across the provinces. We left the provinces with the sort of percentage allocations that they've had. So the cut at the percentage level was almost done equally between the provinces. Why we flagged KZN and other provinces with high backlog as going to be impacted, I think I need to put that into context. It is because if you look at the original budget allocations for those provinces, because they had a high backlog, they were given a larger chunk of the original budget. So 30% cut in KZN would obviously not have the same impact as 30% cut in the Free State. Because of the electrification levels in the Free State. But proportionally, all provinces have been affected the same. And there was a clear criteria that we followed where we tried to minimize the impact on projects that are advanced. There was also a question around how do we intend to mitigate against this backlog? What do we intend to do in assessing the projects is to make sure that working with municipalities and ESCOM, we try as much as possible to get more out of the current budget. And what does that mean? That means that we need to be more efficient and make sure that we bring down the cost per connection. So we need to make sure that we can stretch the current budget that we have. And these are some of the discussions that we're having with the various affected municipalities. I'll leave it at that, Chairperson and Gigi.
Good morning, honorable members, DG and colleagues. It appears I'm having a problem with my video, but I'll continue. My name is David Msiza. I'm the Chief Inspector of Mines. Indeed, honorable members, as the Department of Mineral Resources and Energy, we have never stopped on making sure that the mining sector implement measures which are in line with government guidelines and legislation to safeguard the health and safety of the mine workers. And the increase that has been indicated through the presentation will help us to continue with that work. In fact, honorable members, we've never stopped. We've done already at 1,570 inspections and audits to monitor compliance with the legislation, the guidelines, the guiding principles that we've spoken about during the previous meetings. And through those inspections, we believe that it has helped us to strengthen the measures that are being implemented. We've indicated that through those inspections, we got the mines, for instance, to do to do tests and proper screening as well. And we are also, we have indicated previously that we have promulgated a guideline. In that guideline is clear, we are encouraging the mining sector to support the workers and their families and also the affected communities. And in fact, honorable members, last week, we had a meeting with the provincial government where the Mineral Council also was presenting on not only what the measures that they are implementing at the mines, but how are they supporting the mine workers, including those who might have been infected by the coronavirus. And there were programs that were agreed to as led by the Premier and the MEC for health. So we will definitely continue to make sure that the mines, they implement the effective measures to prevent the workers from infected. However, if they are the infection, we are also, there are measures that are outlined in the guideline on how the workers and their respective communities should be supported. Thank you, honourable members.
Babambambo.
Good morning, honourable members, Chairperson, and the colleagues. Thanks, DG. I just need to clarify that with regards to the request for information for nuclear, it's an activity that the department is doing, but it does not have an implication on the budget reduction. There is no budget allocated for the request for information. Its mainly purpose is to test the market so that the department can plan for its program going forward. Thank you, DG.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mbambo, and also DG Mbele, CFO, and Babam Siza, the Chief Inspector of Mines. There was a question actually on Sanedi. We would like to confirm to the honorable members that Sanedi has prioritized his critical post. And so the amount that we have reported here, it has been voluntarily surrendered by Sanedi, and so which means all the critical work, including the operations, have been covered. And also on the question that Honorable Tenjani raised in respect of the compensation of employees, so remember that the Chief Inspector of Mines, including the guidelines that the Minister, or directions that the Minister issued, we have committed to mining companies that should any of the mine employees be affected by the COVID-19, now this would be treated like an occupational disease, and so which means then the compensation would then be looked into in line with the applicable legislations. And so the issue of budget, because here we are talking mainly about the departmental budget, for the mines, as the Chief Inspector of Mines has indicated, we are working very closely with the Mineral Council, and there is that understanding on how to treat their employees, as Mr. Msiza has also confirmed that This would also be for the surrounding communities or where mining activities are taking place. Honorable Chair, I'm sure we have covered all the questions. I will not want to repeat what you have already touched on in respect of some of the questions that came from honorable members pertaining to the personalization and the focusing of state-owned entities. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much, DG. We will allow follow-up questions. Before we do that, let me start by just one question, DG, before I allow the other members to ask. When you look at the line functions where you saved, I think it's 41.7 million from various line functions, that amount, the CFO mentioned that it was surrendered to Treasury. Now, on another slide or the same slide, it says a total of 7 million was reallocated within goods and services, mainly to fund mandatory inspections that were intensified, of which a variant of 6.2 million was reprioritized for administration to augment the budget for mine health and safety. Now, if you save 41.7 million, according to what we see here, and surrender the same amount to National Treasury, where do you get the 6.2 variant that you reprioritized, and where do you get the 800,000 that was reprioritized from energy efficiency project sub-program for regional programs? That to me must be spelled out properly. If we had a savings of 48 million, let it be said, because at the end of the day, there must not be confusion where a particular amount comes from and where it is going. That is the question that I have. Honorable members, those who want to have a second bite, will do so. We are doing well with time, but it's not going to be open-ended. We're going to look at time, but we're not going to restrict that much. Normally, the chairperson gives 1 minute. I may open it to two if time permits, like it does now. Honorable Malinga, do you have a follow-up question?
Thank you, Chairperson. I did not hear the department as to the rollovers in terms of the municipality, the mitigation strategy to have municipalities spend the grant money timeously. What is the mitigation strategy for the department to ensure that municipalities, they spend this INF grant? Because really our people need to have those connections. Chairperson, I am glad as to the explanation of Mr. Msiza on their work in the mines. I think it alleviates the fears that we have of our miners having contracted COVID-19. But Chairperson, I would also like to know from the DG, do we have any other cases in the entities of the department or departmental staff? How are they managing this COVID-19? Do we have such cases in the department? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Malinga. Honorable Mailam.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me start by saying I was not happy with the response regarding the savings on goods and services. I believe that certainly on travel and subsistence, catering, and in particular on consultancies, a significant amount that still could be saved. But I want to come back to sort of what Honorable Malinga was saying, and that is this. Within the entities, Did the department go down to entity level and see what savings could be affected there? In other words, you've cut your grants and transfers, but I mean, the obvious place to go and look for savings would be to go to each entity and say, right, we need to cut you back by 5% or 10% or whatever. Where can you find savings? And I don't believe that that has been fully explored. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mailem. Honorable Sonyane.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I'm just asking that in our next discussion, maybe the department can actually explain to us exactly what do consultants do for us in the department. We should be able to do, they should be able to cover everything within the department. So if we're paying so much money for consultants, maybe in the next meeting, or they can just give us a presentation on exactly how are these consultants actually assisting the department. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Honorable Sonyane. I will check again if Honorable Nxumalo is in. Boss?
He is in, Mr. Mahlaule.
Honorable Nxumalo? Honorable Nxumalo? Okay, Honorable Volmarans?
Thanks, Chair. I'm pretty covered, but I wanted to check on, I did not get it clear from the responses around the INEP deductions or reductions. The department, is the department amenable to look again into this reductions and try to find reductions somewhere else as opposed to the INEP at that municipal level or at ESCO? That is something that I did not get clear from them. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Volmarans. Honorable Mgweba.
Thank you, Chair. My follow-up question to the department. Can the department explain further the effective measures, if not the monitoring process, in terms of the illegal miners, the Zamazamas? Thank you, Chair.
Thanks very much, Honorable Mgweba. Do we have Honorable Bilankulu?
Yes, Mr. Mahlaule, he is here.
Does he have a follow-up question? Honorable Bilankulu? Going once, twice. Honorable Mtenjane?
Yes, thank you very much, Chairperson. Just one of you follow-up questions here on the matter. Can we have from the department how many mines now that are affected with the how many mines that are affected with workers with positive with the coronavirus? And I also want to check with the department: is it aware? Is the department aware that there are other mines? There are mines. Some of the mines which claim the UIF money, but does not pay their workers. I just want to find out if they are aware. Such mines, for example, is at Kurumane mine in the Northern Cape. We had cases like that and many more other mines. I can't mention them now because there are so many. The mines are claiming the UIF money, but they don't pay the workers. That's a reality, it's a fact, it's there. I want to check if the department is aware of such a thing. if he's aware, how is he going to address it, because it's a serious issue. Yeah, and that one of the cases, Chairperson, as to how many cases now, or how many mines and how many cases, the statistics in short, as to how many mines and how many people are affected in each mine and all those things. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thanks very much, Honorable Tenjani. Just a reminder, comrades, that honorable members, my apologies, that we are dealing with the budget review. We may be tempted to speak about other things that belong to another meeting or agenda. And I'm not saying if the department has the response, must not give a response. You must give a response when you have a response, but I'm just cautioning honorable members that let's deal with the budget review, and we'll have other meetings if your questions are not responded properly. Honorable Phillips.
Thank you very much, Chair. My questions were covered by my colleague, Honourable Malam, and also by Honourable Vormerons, but I would also very much welcome a meeting where we can have an inquiry into the mines that are being paid UIF and not paying it over to the employees. Thank you so much.
I will link, thank you very much, Honorable Phillips. I'll link that with the comment by Honorable Mtenjani that there's a necessity to have a meeting with the department to get a sense of what the UIF money is doing and whether it's going to where it's supposed to go. Thanks. Can we have Honorable Kula?
No, I'm covered. I'll pass.
Thanks very much, honorable members. I think every member has asked the follow-up question. DG, over to you and your team to respond.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I will start with the CFO. Mr. Mbele will just clarify a few questions, and Mr. Mcisa, then I'll just wrap up if there will still be any outstanding questions. Thank you very much. Over to you.
Thank you, DG. Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, you've raised a question under the economic classification of goods and services. If we refer to slide number 6, it says the budget reduction the department managed to save was 48.7 million. That is exactly 48 is the saving that we manage across all programs to put together. But before we surrendered that money to National Treasury, we decided internally to reprioritize some of that funding to assist mine health and safety of 6.2 million to assist with their inspections, and also to assist regional offices for 800. So that gives us the 7 million. So it was 48 million in savings. We reduced it by 7 to help ourselves. And then we had a net budget reduction under goods and services for 41.7 million. So that's how slide 6 and 9 speaks to each other. I hope I managed to clarify that one, Jay. There was a question also under the rollovers for municipalities. Chairperson, the financial year for the municipalities closed on 30th of June. And when there is a process in place by National Treasury of how the rollovers happen, when the municipality applies for the rollover, they will also seek the concurrence of the department to ensure that we will agree to their submission for a possible rollover. And I think Mr. Mbele can also give some comment on that one, Chair. There was also a question from the Honourable Milam on the entities. We did go to the entities and request savings from all entities, but some entities had funding as a once-off allocation. Some were special allocations that we could not touch, one of them being Mintec. They had a special allocation in 2021 financial year, and we couldn't touch it. Sorry, for the Council for Geosciences, we couldn't touch that allocation. Nexa has a cash deficit, so we could not reduce their budget any further. Indradi also has a limited budget, and they have a huge personnel budget burden, so we could not further reduce that budget. But we had gone through all the entities and gone through their activities and projects that where we could have also flagged for them to consider. And where those discussions were necessary, we engaged the branch heads to also assist us in that regard. And this was the best that we could come up from the entities. That was 5 million from NNR, that's the National Nuclear Regulator, and 4 million from SANELI. Chairperson, there was another question in terms of the budget, the process. The budget reduction of the 1.5 billion that we spoke of has been approved. Written confirmation has been sent by National Treasury to all the departments, confirming that this is our final budget for the financial year. That is the revised budget of 7.763 billion. That is our revised budget, and that has been approved. However, there is an adjustment budget in September 2020, in this financial year. We will use that opportunity to request additional funding where we will take the comments from this committee and from the branch heads, and we will look for in this process if we can motivate for additional funding. And we will not lose that opportunity, Chairperson. I will assure you that we will make every effort to submit our additional funding request through that process. Chairperson, there was another question under goods and services, also by Honourable Marlin, if more funding that could have been saved under consultants and within the goods and services budget, our travel budget for the entire financial year was 113 million. Consultants was 134 million. And computer services were 43.5 million. That was when we started this financial year on 1 April 2020. And when we looked at the reduction budget, we tried to reduce as much as possible. And we took the opportunity, especially during the lockdown period when there were no activity, we cut out all of those expenditure that was planned. And when we looked at the following months, wherever we could project a possible saving, we also reduced in that area. So that's on goods and services. Thank you, DG. Thank you, Chair.
Mr. Mbele?
Yes, thanks, DG. I'm going to respond to, I think, the one question that was asked around ANEP was with regard to the strategy for the department to help municipalities. We engage on an ongoing basis with various municipalities where there are challenges with regard to implementation of projects. But we also have provincial or regional forums where we engage at a provincial level with the involvement of a provincial COCTA, where we try and assist municipalities. I think we had reported in the past that, for example, in KZN, provincial COCTA had even gone as far as hiring technical people, engineers, that they would actually deploy to the various municipalities that are struggling. And from time to time as well, we do engage with MISA let them know about some of the municipalities where there are challenges so that they can go there and on the ground assist these municipalities. So there are various engagements or interventions that we undertake in trying to help the municipalities to deliver their projects. I think one of the key areas where we find that most of the projects get delayed is in the procurement of service providers at municipal level, which is a process that we cannot necessarily get involved in the details. But where possible, we do escalate these issues so that the projects do not suffer. Thanks, DG.
Thank you very much. Ramsey, do you want to come in?
Thank you, DG. In terms of the number of mines, if we may, through the chairperson, we'll come back with the total number of mines. But in terms of the cases themselves, honourable members, there has been up to date 3,132 positive cases reported. Of those, 1,310 has recovered, which is currently a 42% recovery rate thereabout. Thank you.
Thank you very much, DDGs, and also the CFO. There was a question from Honorable Malem around the positive cases in the department. We can confirm that we do have the reported cases in the department. We also have some of our entities that are also affected where the employees have tested positive. We are working very closely with labor. We have complied with all the requirements of the COVID-19 regulations in making sure that all the necessary precautions and measures are put in place. And so we have committees that the labor is also participating in those committees. As for the question on junior minors, I think it was coined as legal minors. I think without getting into the details, having to understand that we are dealing with the revised budget, we can confirm to honorable members that in the department we do have a program for small-scale miners where we are assisting them. Now, as for the budget, it is quite evident also from the budget that the budget under this program has not been adversely affected. We have taken note of the request that has been made on some of the issues that have been raised here. Moving forward, will be guided by the chairperson in terms of the way forward. But as we have committed that we will be able to deal with all these issues during the budget adjustment that will be taking place in September this year. Thank you very much, Honourable Chair.
Thanks very much, Honourable Members and the Department, DG and DDGs. There are a few issues that came out of this meeting that if I was a permanent chair, I would look at with the secretariat and see how we can ensure that they make their way to this portfolio committee again. The first issue that the secretariat must note that has been raised was the absence of the minister in the portfolio committee. Though that question goes across other ministries, I remember when we were asking the deputy president as leader of government business the questions, that question arose, and it was to be dealt with accordingly across board. Notwithstanding that, let's allow the process to continue, but the secretariat must note and forward to the permanent chair that this issue has been raised and it needs to be attended properly. Another issue that needs to find way to the permanent chair secretariat, Ariko and Ayanda, is the date which the department will come and present about the rationalization of the entities. I know the program is there, but I can't remember the date. Another issue that has found its way to this meeting and needs to be pressed upon is that we must find ways in which the department would appraise the portfolio committee about the role of consultants in the department and probably what they are doing to assist the department. The last issue that came out of this meeting was Mr. Msiza said he probably will provide the information of how many mines have been affected. He gave stats of how many people have tested positive and so forth, but how many mines so far, and whether the department is aware that the UIF money that is released by government, whether it reaches its the people intended to receive or not. Those are the issues that came out of this meeting, and I would want them, Ariko and Ayanda, to be flagged to the chair that this is what the committee has raised. Honorable members, having said that, on the 14th, which is next Tuesday, we will be considering this budget review and adopt it in our next meeting. But as for this meeting, if there is no pressing issue that if you don't raise, somebody will die, I would want to declare this meeting adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, and acting Chair. Acting Chair. Thank you, and acting Chair.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yes, yes.
Yes. Thank you very much. That was well. Thank you very much. Yeah. You are a star.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
We'll give you a trophy.
We are very proud of you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Pumanga, Elika Mandi, I am there.